Hello, and welcome to our podcast. The 2 a.m. Club.
The Honey Bunnies.
My baby.
We still enjoy doing the intro.
We just wanted to give you a heads up. This is actually our second interview we had with our friends who were pregnant at the time.
Yep. Similar to the episode with my parents, we did not have any equipment at the time, so the sound quality is not that great.
Yes, so our friend was pregnant, and she actually gave birth the same night. So we wanted, it was also one of those moments where we couldn't pass up. We wanted to interview them before they actually had the child. And then we will interview them in a couple months afterwards and see how it is when the kid is there. Yeah, their hopes and dreams before and how it's going so far.
Exactly. So, yeah, we just had to do the recording. And luckily we did at the day because at night, baby came.
Exactly. And I think 2 days later or the next day, actually, our audio equipment came in. So there was like two births at the same time. Not that I'm saying it's the same time of birth, but I'm just I just like to point that out, actually. That's kind of funny. But yeah, so very sorry for the audio. That's not the greatest. But it was a great, great talk with our friends.
Yeah, and we definitely want to share that, and we will re-interview them in a couple months' time.
Hopefully, that if they still want to, you know.
Yeah, if they still want to, I'm sure.
Anyways, thank you for listening. Hope you guys enjoy it, and have a good one.
Bye.
You say they have it, and then when they dug deeper, like, no,
they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
No, just keep on talking.
Yeah. But that was just, I mean, that's overall the, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom before we start here, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, that is so true. It's not only the man's fault, it's also the woman's fault. And that is also what I've realized because, I mean, enjoying breastfeeding, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's rare cases where this is the truth. But honestly, it looks very, you know, romantic, but it is not, yeah. And I think where... But then some women, right, they breastfeed really long. So I was wondering, like, why? Like, what? Like, wow, you know? And then I realized it is also a psychological thing where it's where they feel this is what only I can do. You know, where they get the worth. I think especially for non-working women, you know, where the man is bringing the money home and the woman is not working. And kind of to get this satisfaction of, oh, I'm worth something and this only I can do, you know? And then they flourish in this dependency of the child on them, which is actually crazy when you think about
it. In a way, egoistic, because you're using something like, it sounds weird that how can breastfeeding be egoistic, but it's this thing like, oh, I'm being needed. Here's my purpose. And then you want to drag this out because once the baby doesn't need you, I'm not needed. Of course you're needed on so many different levels, but it's this one thing you fix it on because breastfeeding is this one big thing. Yeah. Only the woman can do it. The other thing that maybe the husband or the man can jump in and do it, but this is only me, you know. I can see how this is something that you cherish, you don't want to lose it, you know.
Actually, we're talking about that today, about the fact that, like, why they do this sleep training, why all of these, like, new age parenting things, remember? And I was saying, like, I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that the women feel like it's my job. It's like a job. Mm. It's like I have to go to the office from 9 to 5, but I have, instead of that, it's like I have to put the baby in nap time at this time, I have to feed it at this time, I have to do that, and it just becomes an annoyance more than anything.
Yeah. It's also other things later on, the information you gather. Like usually women are the ones that will research all these things and then give the digested information to the husband. And he's not really that much involved, but mainly just gets the condensed version of everything and then goes on. So again, ownership has been taken away. Also, my husband probably didn't want to get too involved, like it could happen. And then you have this thing where they just kind of follow, and you get into this groove of one person leads, does everything for you, and you kind of follow in line. And I can see this sometimes happening with small things. For example, then we got special diapers, for example. That was our idea. Let's try that out if that works.
Which one did you guys get?
We have washable diapers.
The three-layer one.
Is it?
Exactly. We'll spell that.
But I like that they are aware. Okay.
A lot of things were like, you know what, this is going to be nonsense. This may work. This will surprise us, perhaps, but let's see. Because in the end...
We are trying.
Exactly.
We will see. I think the time I'm on maternity leave, it might work. My mom is absolutely not cooperative. She said, I already bought diaper. I said, but I don't need. I have this one. Yeah, but you're not going to do this when you come at home. I'm like, mom, I'm at your place. You have a wash machine, no? So what's the problem? Yeah, but it's going to be annoying. That's for your place. You say, no, that's not that it works, you know?
You're not going
to
bring it.
The concept, she doesn't get it.
But the funniest thing was when I told Svenja, because I was the one who was like, oh, we should do these eco diapers. And then Svenja was like, hold on one second. Are you going to put this in the washing machine with my clothing? I was like, yeah, it's going to go. And she's like, but you pre-cleaned the shit off before you put it in the clothes. I was like, no, I put it all together. She's like, no, we're not getting that. Fuck the planet.
Yeah. No, you have a lot of these things that you just...
Wanted to give the example further on that one. I would like to hear it with the diaper. You could feel it.
I could feel for myself that Fanny already knows a few things here and there, and especially after reading that article, it kind of triggers this little flag on like, wait, Philip, ask about this. You want to know this 100%, because I will not be happy if I know I'm just trailing in Fanny's shadow, constantly being the husband. Honey, how do we do this? How does this work? Where is this? I want to know. I also want to be the person that gets asked, oh, where do we put this? So I want to know stuff and be at the forefront rather than just like waiting to be called upon, you know, like the intern, the example I gave earlier. And so for me, I can feel that there's only parts where like, oh, it's there. And Fanny, we have that dynamic because Fanny tends to do this, that she takes it away from someone. Let me do it and I'll do it not in a mean way, just like I want to do it the right way. That way it's done. You know?
I can imagine that you're like this at work as well.
and so this is...
Before you try, let me just do it.
Exactly.
Then I know it's the way I want to.
Yeah, and while this is... The tensions are good. For me, sometimes I feel like the onus is taken away and you feel, but despite I don't like it, I sometimes tend to let go and follow suit, and I really don't like this. So I constantly have to battle myself not, you know, letting go, but actually, you know, holding on and going with it. And
so the diaper, you read everything about it.
Yeah.
But the trolley is...
I would be 100% surprised that that lasts more than a week. Even with the nanny you have right now. Because you have to imagine, you don't know how much a bean can shit and pee in a day. There are times, I wish our leave was here right now, where you change the diaper, you're like, you get that last strap, and all of a sudden you're like, fuck me. So you gotta take it off, and you're like, you can't put it back on, otherwise you're gonna get a rash, right? So you gotta go through the whole thing again, and if you only have, like, I don't know, let's say 6 nappies, right? So you're thinking, oh, 3 times in the morning, 3 times during the day, 3 at night. That's not how it works.
We have 20, so 6 outside, 21 inlay, and then we have the paper inlay that this one...
Exactly.
How many layers is this whole thing?
This 3, the one we have.
It's like a 27-layer thing.
Now we took the 3 layers, so 1, the very thin one you threw away.
Uh-huh.
The bamboo one is the one that you wash, and so we have 21.
It's like a microfiber cloth,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, like
the
21.
Outside, we have 6.
Right.
So that might be the challenge.
But also, the outside, we're thinking, there's going to be leakage. And then she's like, no, these work for all ages. I'm like, that's never a good thing. One size fits all usually means one size fits nobody.
That's a crazy thing. There are brands of diapers. So we've switched brands of diapers because, of course, like, we get the Pampers, but the Pampers are more expensive, right? Unless you get these like Danish 100% recyclable, which are not even, they're like 99.9% recyclable or something like that. And then they leak. They fucking leak. And then we went to Germany, and then Svenja bought like different kinds of diapers and everything, and they all leaked. And you know which one didn't leak? Pampers. Pampers didn't leak.
I mean, this
not one thing. It just held everything in there. It's a leak. But you know why? Because Pampers has been doing this for ages. And they're really good at it. They make really good diapers. And then you get the nighttime diapers because he sleeps at night, takes bigger shits, makes more pees, and it just sits in there. I mean, inshallah, it worked for you guys.
We tell you.
But yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you guys are trying it. That's great. We didn't even go as far as trying it. Because once I told Svenja, she's like, so you have to, you're going to put this in my clothing.
Because of the number we have, we'll do a pre-wash just for them. And then the second wash, you can do it with normal clothes.
Yeah. But that was, I found amazing when Fanny came to me, hey, with the diapers, what do you want to do? And I was like, already in my mind thinking, I've heard, you know, annoying things about these things, but I really would like to try it out, at least, you know, give it a try. Mm-hmm. And so I was really happy when Fanny came around, hey, let's do that. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, let's do that. And most of the stuff we talked about the baby were really quickly aligned, and that was also a fun part already. There weren't a lot of fights in the beginning, because always like, one person does research. Usually, my friends, always the guys who do the stroller research, usually. And that was really quickly, because Fanny was like, Philip, everybody has the yo-yo, let's take the yo-yo. And then Germany, they're like, oh, Philip, but look, if you go in the forest, you want to have some profile and an inflatable tire. I was like, you want to go in Dubai? I'm not going to go into a forest with that trolley. And so let's see how
that's
it goes.
That's the point.
And it's still going to survive, you know?
I think when Philippe saw the yo-yo, he was like, what? Because it's true that it's not looking very solid, you know, compared to other trolley. Yeah, but what are we going to do? Mall and going in our compound? Because, I mean, yeah, what do you want to do? You're not going to go in the desert in any case, huh? So,
it looks like, I mean, I built stuff out of Lego that was more stable by the looks of it at first, you know, because the strollers I know from Germany are the ones, also the one that you have, the big one, I mean, those are sort of that, like, you know, like the Cadillac of strollers. That's the one I've known. And the yo-yo's like, what is this? It's like all plasticky, and I didn't like it, but it seems to do the trick. Everybody has it, many complaints.
See.
We'll see, exactly.
I mean, for us, we got the Leclerc compared to the yo-yo, which was also on our list, but we preferred the Leclerc compared to the yo-yo. It's a little bit more solid built.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't like about the yo-yo? You had to buy a lot of extra shit. You had to buy the infant inlay. You had to buy, like, the footrest, the other things. A lot of stuff you had to buy extra, and the Leclerc already came with it. And that's kind of what I liked about the Leclerc. Was also, I like the copper.
Yeah, we also love our German one now.
We also love our Hummer. We call it the Hummer. No?
Yeah, it's what exactly.
It's
sturdy. But overall, it's, you have a lot of things, I think, when the baby. I had a friend who said he wanted to buy this mattress that measures the pulse of the baby. And his wife said, listen, this thing is going to give us a false alarm 3 times and we're going to freak out. No. So he stopped it. Funny about the story, and Funny's like, you know what, let's get the sensor. So what we got is, and we'll see how long we use it, if it works. It's like a Velcro strip that you
around the foot,
and it does oxygen saturation. And
that works very well for babies. After 9 months,
yeah.
What I read online is it doesn't work very well because your kids start to move, and then they remove it. So every time they remove it, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
So I can tell you an anecdote there, because there's a German documentary, I can see what I find it, I can send it to you, about parenting. And
it's
they were
late.
Huh?
It's a little late.
And
I'm not going to have time after tomorrow to watch it.
It's true, not tonight.
When the kid's 18, I'm going to put it on and be like, what did I do wrong? Oh, everything.
No, and they were interviewing a doctor exactly about those products for kids. Like, for example, you have now water bottles that is measuring, like, how much water, whatever, you know. And I mean, the doctor's like, you know, there's 0 cases known where a kid died because of thirst. I mean, they will
unless
drink,
you're like,
they're like, they will drink if they are thirsty. Yeah?
Yeah.
A kid drinks if they are thirsty. Like, you know, or actually, and then they were also looking at these kind of checking the pulse and the heart rate and the blah, 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 whether they're like, yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, of course they are playing, the industry is playing with the fear of new parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, yeah, because we were also looking into this. I remember with the camera that Mo wanted, and I actually said no. Because I was like, this will freak me out. I will check it every 5 seconds, and this
is
not good for my mental health.
And this special had a single arm, and then it measured the movements of the baby. It told you when it was awake and when it was not.
But this,
and then,
I mean, I have to smile at us, because we all do that. We all have these gimmicks at home that solve a problem that wasn't really there. You know, like, I don't know, the German brand Chibo, they have all these products. Joseph & Joseph, also one of those things. They have a million utensils for the kitchen. You're like, I will never need this. When do I need this one special?
But it's cool.
Exactly.
But that's the thing,
exactly.
Right? And me and Svenja, we really have this playoff where she's like, okay, do we need this? And I'm like, no. And I'll be like, I don't want this. And she's like, no, we don't.
Yeah, exactly. So
and it depends on if there's more than two no's, then the other person knows it's no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
We normally do that, but for the socks, I have to say, I don't know what happened that day. You were busy, so.
No, I know what it was.
She took advantage.
That Friday.
Funny was sick for 2 days, and I could feel what happened when Funny's not working. She goes online and she starts shopping, and here she kind of got carried away, like everything just all stuff.
Like Friday.
Something like, yeah, let's pretend it, well, that was the reason. But it was just a lot of stuff happening. It's like, oh, wow, you got it now. Yeah, let's see what it was. And I thought she said, like, hey, it's like $30. Like, that's cheap. It's like, no, it's $300.
I got it for 200 something.
Okay, but something they're like, oh,
299.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
No.
But I mean, in the end, you all have that. Everybody will buy some nonsense that will, in the end, turn out to be useless. Let's see.
We'll
try it out. But the main thing is that you agree on the stuff. I mean, there could have been already been tons of fights in the beginning about everything. And there's another thing, parenting. I mean, for us it was normal. I don't know if you did the same thing. A lot of people apparently don't talk about their parenting style before, which I found. Does it automatically come up? Like, I mean, the plan. You don't know what you're doing.
The thing is, what we discuss about what we would like, because you don't know how you will be.
All right, ours is very simple. We just don't want our kid to be a dick. That's literally the only thing, right? Literally what we said. So, okay, so what do we not want him to be? A dick. And you're like, all right, that's how we're gonna go.
I don't know. We also talked about
I
think one interesting hint that we got. I don't know where I read it, but actually, it's good for a child also. There's different parenting styles, yeah. So that you have different. Because actually it's good. There is not the one right style, right? And of course they shouldn't contradict each other. Yeah, I mean they should kind of.
That's the point.
So you were saying that what you wanted.
No. So what we discuss is what you know we want. Both of us, like we always see it. We are completely different. Philippe is more laid back. I'm going to be the stricter side. So we know we are different. But then there will be the way we do it as well, because there is the way you think you are, and the day you have a baby, the way you are.
Mm.
So we know Philippe has a weakness for
cats.
With the cat, so we believe that with the baby it might apply again, especially when he starts to talk or he's like that.
I don't think so.
She sounds like a super villain, you know, when being loving is made out to be a weakness. I can see the ending of this movie already. You know, I'm going to be the
first of all
favorite.
Who's German in this?
I feel
it's more French than Philip. Plus your name is more French than German, and Fanny is definitely German.
But we will see how it is, because at the end there is what you think you will be, and when I see my friends, some of them I'm like, that's not exactly what they say they will do, but yeah, the thing is, between what you want to do and the reality,
there's
going to be...
Of course.
Look at our birth. The idea was to have this very calm, soothing water birth, and then it was a C-section, and now it's a C-section tomorrow morning. All right, cool. So you make plans, and this and the other thing that I early tried to figure out, I'll tell myself, Philip, you will have ideas, you will have plans, but be flexible, because you're going to need to be flexible for the next coming years.
Mm. Yeah, I think that that is a very good...
Let's see how that works, though.
...or thinking,
I think flexibility is definitely key.
For me, it was difficult to accept, like, things don't go as planned. You know, you have plans, and then you have a baby. So, that...
I think is the big difference.
I think, this is...
A lot of us have that, I mean. Kids, I mean, you put also so much pressure on yourself to be this perfect parent. It needs to be this child. I mean, some people probably already have the university picked out in their mind, but you have this plan for your kid, and I think it can only, you know, take away from the fun and the joy, because you will always compare it to that mold that you created, that idea. And I'm just going to... I just say, you said, don't have the kid not be a dick. For me, the one thing is, my priority is not what kind of education right now. I want the kid to be kind. I want to be an empathetic person that is sensitive and kind to people and respectful. You know, not like me. But no, all seriousness. And then Fanny has also some ideas. Fanny's going to be probably focusing on education, and that the child goes a certain way. Maybe not necessarily a certain job, but Fanny will be more focused on certain things. I will probably be more laid back. Other way around, there's things where I will probably be completely stressing out. And Fanny will be like, hey, come on. That's not a big deal.
The best group we have learned, it's our community. Of people being pissed because the kids threw rocks at their car.
They use
the car as goals when they play football. I don't know which monster we have in our compounds, but there is a bunch of kids just awful. And then you see sometimes the answer of the parents, which no, in the last discussion did not have an answer, because I think that no, they won't, they will not say what they think. But once there to answer, it, they are so small, it's, if they use your car as a goal, it will not damage your car.
Yeah. Well, and then
good luck.
Last week it ended up with someone saying, I think the kids are doing their ding-dong pranks again, the doorbells. And then someone posted a sniper gif and said, we're all in place here. Okay, guys. I mean, they also have kids, so you can see how this all shifts, you
but
know?
The thing is very funny, because they all say, we should do this, we should do that, but they never do. And I did it, and Philippe posted, yeah, Fanny, catch one of the girl, and she brought it home. I can tell you, when I opened the door, the face she was doing, because Philippe was not here, no way, he was in Saudi Arabia. Ring once, I go, nobody, I see two little girls playing in the street. Second time, I go out, I say, excuse me, have you seen someone ringing my door? No. Okay. Mila was at the window, starting to be slightly annoyed, I could see her. So I stay at the door and watch, and it did not take very long, 10 minutes after, they are coming. Out of the two, I catch only one.
Mm-hmm.
I was very nice, I was like, you know, it's not very nice to do that, especially I asked you and you did not tell me the truth. And here I see the tears coming.
Oh,
and I say, where do you live? No, I promise I will not do it again. I say, no. I said, I came to ask you. You told me it was not you. No, I'm just going to bring you back home to ensure you are not lost. I told her this. You know? She cries and cries. We go home. She's going super slow.
Oh,
we go at our door and I say, okay, the door was open. I ring, nobody's answering. I say, can you pick your parents? And the dad arrived pissed.
He was mad.
What happened? And I say, oh, no, I just wanted to ensure your daughter was not lost, because she came 3 times at my door ringing. And my,
I didn't know. You didn't tell me the story that way. That's the funniest
and
thing.
And in front, outside, was sitting the grandfather that was not speaking a word of English. I think he was Indian. And the dad then did not know what to say. He said, okay, have a nice day. And he just closed the door, you know. It's like, he said nothing to his daughter.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I mean, this, I don't care. Because I can tell you, just the fact that I brought her back home the way she was crying, she never did it again.
Of course, yeah, exactly.
And here we can see the parents. For me, I'm cringing, because let kids be kids. They ring your doorbell. We all did it. For me, when I hear the other parents going on about it, like, yeah, no, it's really annoying. It's 8 o'clock in the evening. I'm like, are you in bed at 8? I'm trying to put a kid down to sleep. Yeah, that I get. But the kid outside doesn't go through that thought process. So I'm like, let's all chill a little bit. The stones with the cars I get. But you can see different parenting styles.
Yeah. But
it's funny, like, lying to the kid.
No.
I will just ensure you get home safe.
I honestly, I would electrify the doorbell. That's what I heard. Just like.
But I was nice, Philippe, because
yes.
I wrote to one of the... Because when Philippe said the story, there is a mom wanted to know where it was. And I just answered to her. I wrote to her. And I said, look, at the age of this little girl, I really doubt that at 8 p.m. it's her. I just told her this. I did not say which horse it was. I don't want to... Because I don't want to show a kid that might have learned her lesson. And it's not her. I mean, there is many kids in our compound. And at 8 p.m., when she was like 7 years old, I never see those kids outside. So, yeah, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do anything. You want to catch them, you do like me. You start your dog, you're going to catch them very easily. You
know? They're still kids.
But I love that you had the patience to stand behind the door for 10 straight minutes using the cat as a lookout to snitch, and then you just went out.
Mila is a good alert. She was so annoyed, like, bitch, you're going to ring again. And every time someone comes, she's like, oh, what it is? And then she saw them already running. She was
so
like,
the cat got annoyed, which triggered you to wait for the kid patiently behind the door. I love the story. It gets better and better.
At the end, think about it. It's a cat. She's annoyed. Well, it could be a game. But you have a dog. That's the way to drive a dog insane.
But we don't. Yeah, okay, I get it. We don't.
You don't know what's happening in her head. I mean, honestly, Mila, she's bothering nobody, just sleeping. So let her sleep.
But you see, with parents, I think a lot of parents say, oh, I'm going to be this really easygoing parent. But say yes and be relaxed constantly is also not a parenting style. That's just being completely laissez-faire, you know? So you have to at some point to do something. It's just funny to see parents. They all have kids. They all talk about this in the group, but they're all super annoyed. But for me, what I was expecting parents to go, oh, sorry, that was my kid. I really apologize. Let us know we have insurance. That was what I was expecting, but not like silence. So people are getting annoyed, but the ones who are potentially the parents, they don't chime in. Nobody says anything. They're like, that is not right. And this probably is also that, guys, if our kids ever are tall enough, it's a long ways away, but please, you do tell the kid that it's not okay, and you bring them to us, and we'll pay for the damage. That's how this works.
But we will raise our kid to be smarter. First, you don't go three times to ring at the same door, change the door.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I tell Svenny all the time. You get two police calls. If the police catch you on the third time, you're not that smart. You get two police calls. That's all you get.
Yeah.
And then from there on, you need to learn how to never get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all what it's about.
And you show the kids make tutorials on YouTube to camouflage and stuff like that, yeah.
I think there is a lot of
it
was nothing bad. And honestly, I was not mean. I think for a kid, yes, it's emotional because you got caught. But
yeah.
I was not mean. All went good. I did not even threaten. I just said, let's go back to your place. I don't want you to be lost. That was the
yeah,
problem.
Yeah,
I really felt.
But I know that some kid, even Munanui now, he even starts doing fake cries. When I put him down, and then I push him up, and then you not one tear, and then all of a sudden he stops, and you're like, that's a fucking fake crack. And you're ready to
tell.
And they stop.
That's my point. They're very smart. So when the kid was like crying, like, this was probably 100% bullshit.
But I mean, now, because what we're talking about will be way later, right? I think now the funny thing is, for example, Scream. Right, so I think we're more on the see kids now with Scream, we're like, oh my god, right? How can you do that? Like, this is terrible. Let's see how you react when your kid is going crazy, you're in a restaurant and you just wanted to be quiet, right?
Yeah,
and I think that was, I think this is the situations where. Just you thinking about it, you know? You're like, I would love to now just give you the phone so I can have my breakfast in peace, you know? Like, just that you have these thoughts. I mean, this is so funny, yeah? Because, I mean, I guess this is what a lot of parents are doing. They just, at some point, they're so exhausted. You just try to do the easy way, right? And the easy way then is, I don't know.
It's slippery slope.
Yeah. And
but I love the fact that nobody said directly at that question, no one said, I will never do that. Everyone kept quiet and went,
no. Yeah, because you can, it's impossible. I mean, we are in 2020.
But that's my point. Like, we all know it, and we're going to push it as much as we can, but it's kind of like, you're also like, you really don't want to do it, right? But you also kind of like, you know, one time you're going to
I feel like the parent that smokes and says, you know what, you should never smoke. Really bad habit. For me, it's too late, but you can still, you know, kind of like that, because we all know we all grab our phones way too often.
Mm.
We are in front of screens nonstop, and yet we are fully aware of that addiction. Most of us don't really have it under control. And then with the kid, we're like, how can I postpone this as much as possible?
Mm.
When we lived in Brazil, we saw this once was this most traumatic thing. We were for Christmas, went to a hotel, and we come down and for breakfast, and you see the people with their nanny. The nanny's feeding a zombie because the kids are completely mesmerized by the screen, which has these amazing, colorful, like rabbit ears, iPad stands. And the kids are completely like brain dead in front of it, mouth half open, and the nanny's trying to shove some food in their mouth every once in a while. And the parents completely detached, not even watching, having their conversations also on the phone. And they were like, we will never do that. And of course, that was a couple of years ago, and now we're like, yeah, let's try, see how we can do this, but we're fully aware.
Think about how did our parents do it, yeah? Because we didn't have phones in front of our faces while we were kids also. Yeah, I mean, this is also kind of a thing,
because
right?
Because you can be organized. There is, I'm not saying it's possible to do without phone. What we saw in Brazil, it was not kids that were asking for iPad.
No,
it was the reaction of family that gives the iPad even nothing has happened yet.
Yeah.
So first, that's perhaps anticipating a bit too much.
Yeah.
Before going for the iPad, perhaps you can try a few toys and a piece of paper and a pen. And that's what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I still remember my parents, they did not like it because in France it's not so acceptable. But I was allowed at some point to stand and walk in a restaurant because otherwise I was just becoming a nightmare. I mean, you cannot keep a kid for 5 hours sitting. But you need to choose the right moment. I think it is impossible to do without technology today. But I think you need to find the right way to do it and the boundaries. And yeah, in Brazil, they were giving this. It was not in even necessary.
No,
it was just like,
it, yeah.
Okay, let's be quiet and do
it
that.
It was before. It was before. I mean, this weekend also. You saw this weekend while we were out. I mean, the just was the feeding, and then it automatically was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no. I mean, this for me is really not, that's... Like, I get that you want to give it, and eventually might, but you really got to try at least.
I mean that was a funny thing. I mean, this is also funny then when you see other parents, and then you see, you know, everyone has his or her own style. And I mean, you can't say anything really, right?
Yeah.
You just look at it, and you're like, okay, how... And then also every kid is different, so
yeah.
Some things work here, but not there, and so on. So who are you to judge, right? But exactly, so that's what we saw. We saw another couple giving the two-year-old the phone if, you know, if they just wanted to feed, or they had a very organized schedule, so it had to sleep. And I think this is maybe, one thing what I also said with mental health, one learning. So at the beginning, for example, when we had Munanui, I tracked the food, the sleep, the, I don't know, you have all these tracking apps, right? And I mean, yes, it's important that they eat and sleep, yeah, I mean, this and the poo, yeah?
It's important that they're alive.
And
it's the most important.
So I tracked it and I wrote it down. But at a certain point, especially the sleep part actually, started to freak me out. You know, I got so... okay, you need to sleep now, because you need to sleep, I don't know, 15 hours a day so your brain can develop, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it stressed me so much, and then you always need to record it, you know, and then they fall asleep for 5 minutes, then they wake up, and then they, you know, you're like, oh, you're constantly recording.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't think that makes sense. It's not that this is going to make my baby sleep more, you know, so let's just let it go. He will or she will sleep whenever necessary, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there you, but at the beginning, of course, because you're learning, and you're trying to find your way, right? But I, for me, at some point, I was like, okay, this one I skip. It just stresses me out, yeah. And then I remember I had this other thing, that book, also from friends, which was the week by week book, and it's described like what stage the baby should be in, blah, blah, blah. And then I think at the beginning it was good because it gives you actually just some facts about certain things. But then, of course, if your baby doesn't match it, you're starting
to
worry. Oh God, we need to do this. Oh, you know. And then I was like, okay, no more need to read. Like, honestly, now I'm not reading anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about parent, not about anything. I was like, I'm completely and I think I probably stopped at around month 6 or something, where like, okay, there's no need to read anything, even about parenting in general, right? That was Faustine, but sorry. But actually I didn't read about it. I'm like, you know, I think it would just happen. I don't know. Just now trust a lot more my instincts. Yeah. Like, or also now when we were out over a weekend. Yeah. I mean, things are not exactly the same. So I'm like, okay, I mean, it's okay. He's not going to eat at 1, then he'll eat at 2, you know, or I mean, he's not going to die of hunger because, you know, or if he's not going to have the nap at 10, you know, it is fine. I think as long as you don't have twins, I think that's a whole different story. if there's one and you're... Yeah, I think this is... there is no need to put yourself so much stress where actually it doesn't matter at all.
But like Dr. Brenda, she said something in the beginning that really stuck with me when we were talking about weight and food and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, Mo, the thing is, doctors have to have a generalized chart of basic stuff, yeah?
Your standard.
There's a standard, yeah? And of course, your baby doesn't fit fully in the standard. You just like, when it's not in the standard, just check it off. That's not your standard anymore. And then you just keep on moving on. It doesn't have to exactly fit into this perfect box of whatever it is. You just have to... You're just like, okay, that's not for him anymore, or for her. That's not for the baby on this side anymore. That's not for me anymore. It's really all what it is. It's just this standardized thing that everyone kind of has to kind of follow or abide by. But it doesn't mean every single rule and regulation. And it needs to be at the month 2. It needs to be at so many kilos. You have babies that are overweight. You have babies that are underweight. You have tall babies. You have little babies. You have so many different kinds of babies. And it's really at this, like,
yeah.
You just go with your gut. Like, you're like, eh.
We did twice during the pregnancy. Once, like recently, it was the weight, because she said, I cannot really... The weight is always an estimate through the ultrasound. He said, listen, this is going to be a tricky one because it's very, very vague. But basically, it was only 100 grams more. Like, okay, this stage should have been more. Not to worry, let's see what next week brings. We're not freaking out or anything, but you still have it in your mind.
Mm.
And another thing, what we had that, yeah, the legs were short. And I was like, what does it mean, short? It's just shorter than average. Now, but in my mind, I was thinking, so I was thinking like of a baby with like the feet under the torso, you know? But what she probably meant was the legs are shorter. This is the percentile where that can happen. But you're like, you're not really getting the explanation. You're like, wait a minute, what's going to happen? It's going to wobble. It's going to be a penguin. How's this going to end up? And you're like, in your mind, like, Philip, calm down.
A few moments of stress.
We have an ultrasound of our kid giving a high five to the ultrasound camera, basically. And there is clearly a 6-finger sticking out. It is absolutely a digit.
Maybe
and she's like,
curious.
No, it's not. I was like, you know what? You're a doctor, but you can't read an ultrasound. My mind, of course, I knew. I was minding myself on the way back. Like, of course, it's not a finger, but
in fact,
it's a finger, and she's wrong.
Even funnier, she never answered to the comment. Like,
really?
She found it so stupid.
But she said a lot of funny things.
Funny,
well,
yeah,
but, yeah.
It was a fun way. But she decided to ignore the comments. Like, they did not say that.
Well,
so,
it's wise with me to ignore at least every second comment, if not all.
But the legs, I was much worried because I was like, that's completely ridiculous. I mean, because she said it's in the average, but very low. She showed me, so they, you know, you have a bar like that, a cross in the middle, that's the standard, and we were here. Time after, no, it's normal. Well, last time, if you want to see the leg, we should do a vaginal ultrasound. I mean, you know what? Like, it's going out in 2-3 weeks. I'm fine. I will wait. I mean,
what's
not going to change?
Are there two legs? Yes, we're good. That's all.
I mean, what the hell? And 2.9 kilo? I'm sure it's going to be much more than this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for us, the only thing that was always the same on the echo was the size of his penis, right?
Mm.
That was it.
And Daddy was proud. Honestly, two gynecologists looked at the ultrasound. Oh, big penis. Yeah, that was a bit strange.
There was no short legs.
He's got three legs. Well, that's not the leg, yeah.
We never ask for comments because we don't want to know. But
I know.
So, but for the legs, it was quite funny. Ah, that is small. And then, no, it's normal.
Yeah, it's
it goes back and forth.
It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
It's also like when I knew he's a little bit less. He's a little bit underweight. And for Svenja, because she had a feeding problem when she was a kid, in the beginning, not anymore now, but she was like, he needs to eat more, he needs to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like,
yeah, I put my fear, because I wasn't a good eater as a baby. I was like, okay, maybe eat. It's like,
it looks pretty,
yeah,
good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
And did you also have that your parents gave you like advice from their experience?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like with feeding, for example, oh yeah, by the way, for you was this, you gotta watch out for that and stuff like that.
Yeah, fear.
So we have that with breastfeeding for you, right? That your mother kind of like, they mean well, but like repeating the same story 15 times, how she couldn't breastfeed and funny, this will also not work for you. And then all of a sudden she's asking, when funny was like, yeah, let's see if the breastfeeding works. And she was like, why wouldn't it work? And funny goes, well, because you told me 15 times how I will not be able because it was difficult for you, you know? You're giving me your story.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Like, oh,
I'm just telling you. Trying to warn you that it might not work. Yes, but 15 times I got it. I think it was registered.
But I mean, my mom also told me that. But she was more in like, if this is too, you know, like, don't worry if you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, she was really on the side that she doesn't want me to suffer. You know, and that was, I mean, that was nice. It was not like, oh my God, you're not going to break. You know, it was really like, okay, if it doesn't work, don't worry. You were also not breastfed, you know, your brother also not, like, so this was actually, no, but they didn't say anything, actually. I think that was no advice.
Because that's how you hear a lot of these things. That's the one thing about parenting. The one thing that's really free is advice. And advice given as in, hey, this may or may not happen. No, it's more like, oh yeah, this is absolutely this. Because some people have some tools for them that work perfectly, but because they work so well for them, it's the ultimate truth. But then they kind of,
mm-hmm.
and we all do that, I do that all non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
You share advice as if that is the maxime, the new thing,
mm-hmm.
the new guideline, the standard. And you hear that a lot. Like, and if you put them all together, it's like you have this, you have like a list of contradictory things because there's one thing on the left, one thing on the right, and they none of them match
mm-hmm.
because like, everybody has their story. And this is, for me, one thing that is actually the one advice you give to people, relax because it's just you. It's you and your baby because you're different. Your husband is different, your baby is different from everybody else, and it will be you to you. It's the only way it works.
Yeah, that's really good.
You still got to give advice, of course, like, you know, oh, by the way, you could try this, or this is a good option, this has worked for us. And then basically just kind of advocating to be a bit more relaxed in the way we advise you, because it can also install panic. Like, you hear this, oh, you got to use this, and then, whoa, slow down, we don't have this, write it down. And you maybe, as you're young, you're insecure, you panic.
So do you feel prepared enough?
I know I'm not, and that relaxes me. I think I can never be really. I think that if there's something I need, I'll just buy it on the go.
But the midwife, I think it was what I was going to say, what you were saying before, the best that you can do, because it's nice to ask people around you. So, for me, it was nice that we asked people that have a young kid. Nevertheless, we know a lot, and in our group of friends, we already had a lot of judgment. So you need to take distance. The best advice we got is still from the midwife.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it cries, feel. You know, simple things, like, because then you ask your friend, what is it? Ah, you need to check, perhaps you need to change it. No, the midwife is telling you, cries, rule number one, feed. Okay, then
it
I
moves,
know, I will
feed.
Try
it. It cries,
if it
feed.
Continue, okay, perhaps I need to check something else. But when you ask people, you get something else, and then you have, then you are going to have the judgment. Ah, but you let your kids cry, or you should let your kids cry. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Cries or not cries?
The fiber technique, let them cry out.
And I think with friends, there is things to take, things to remove. And in fact, it's so contradictory that sometimes for me, I mean, Philippe as a friend, for example, sometimes I'm a bit like, it's too, you know, I don't know what to take or not to take. I know it's coming from a very nice feeling, the person that wants to help, but I feel a bit forced, you know. It's like, if we don't do this way, it's like, it's not the right way.
Yeah, but that's also very bad too. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, honestly, I love what you just said, because I think that was also one of the best advices we got. I don't even remember from who. It wasn't a midwife, but it was like, okay, if they cry, it's either hunger, tired, or diaper. Actually, and really, and because your brain is really very limited, and I was always like, what did it, like, which one was it again, you know? So I was thinking, say, which one did I try? Okay, you know, he's not hungry. Okay, now let's check the diaper.
Isn't that from Sherry?
I don't think so. I don't remember who said that, but that was the greatest advice. Hungry, yeah. Diaper, or tired? And then and then you learn the clues, right?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. But I mean, the first ones are, like,
yeah,
the first,
I think,
couple weeks anyways, just
it's diaper,
survival.
It should turn between the three.
Yes, exactly.
It's just survival. That's all
but,
it is.
So, I mean, are we prepared? I want to say, I think that there is a lot of knowledge we have acquired, because we are really interesting to learn. So we ask questions, we took classes, we took the basic midwife class, we took the hypnobirthing, so we went a bit beyond that perhaps some people are doing. So we can be prepared as much as it can be, because you also learn by doing. So now we need to see what is in front of us, but I think that just asking people around you, your relative, friends, it can become very dangerous, huh? Because you, for me, I feel judged. I mean, our trip in South Africa at the end, it's like, wow, it was very intense. And Philippe was emotionally touched when we came back.
The story of a friend that we had a wine tasting, and Fanny has a friend who actually, there's a different term, it's not a sommelier, but she's...
Onologue.
Yeah. So she does wine tasting. That's her job. So when she's pregnant, she continues her job, but she spits it out and washes out her mouth. So she does it on a regular basis. What Fanny did, I think, when you calculated, was 12 zips of wine she took, and between every sip, she spit it out and rinsed with water and spit that out too. I think, come on. And so at the end, the judgment I got is like, well, if you cannot abstain from alcohol for 9 months for your baby, I mean, really, and if I heard you say this, Philip, I could have cried. And that was such an emotional answer. While, yes, I asked for an opinion by just sharing a story, perhaps, but you could have also withheld that intensity of that judgment.
Was it a woman?
Yeah. was a young mother. Her child is 1 year old now, and she was overall a bit more on the, what I would, I mean, if I were going to be mean, a bit more on the hysterical side. But I know her, and she's one of my really good friends, and she really means absolutely well. But it's more the nervousness, overly, rather, you know those people.
She puts her fear on you.
In a way, but because the person that tends to go with a negative. You have a headache, you're like, oh, I hope it's not a tumor. Sort of, oh, I'm over the top right now, but you know, kind of like that kind of person. So of course, but it still sticks with you. And then one of your other really close friends said, well, we talked at home, I was more on your side, my wife was more, you know, siding with the other person. I was like, shoot, so now it actually goes around the friend circle, and now people are sitting there like, you know, like a meeting. So what do you guys think? How are we going to judge them, you know? And this is what I've felt for me. It took me about 2 to 3 weeks to get over this. And the first week, there were a couple of nights where I cried, because for me, I felt really guilty. Like, shoot, am I already messing up as a father without the child even being born? That was tough for me.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much again for listening to part one of this podcast. We're very sorry again for the bad sound quality, but hopefully enough, you'll want to hear part two. Thank you again.